gossip. The F1 Podcast.
Well, we are back. Season 2, Grid Gossip. It's been a little bit of a break, but we're back. My name's Del, along with my gangster co-host, soon-to-be-married, Julie.
Yes.
What is up?
Yeah, I've enjoyed having a little bit of a break from being on the podcast, but excited to get back into it. Excited for Drive to Survive this weekend, and then it's going to be the first race before we know it.
Yeah, it's I think when we broke for off season, we're like every 2 weeks, and we definitely didn't make that happen. It seemed a bit forced, and then life takes over. But I think it was a good break. A lot of things have happened since I think our last live recording, which was, I don't know, maybe a month ago. A lot of things in general with F1, the world. So we'll talk a little bit about that, of course. But I'm excited to be back, and it feels like I'm just excited. I'm just really excited, especially for Drive to Survive. I will say I cheated a little bit. I'm just going to put this out there. I cheated a little bit. I haven't seen any episodes, but I did watch a review of one of another podcast. I'll just say that got access to the first 8 episodes.
Oh,
their judgment was that it's the worst series so far.
Oh, I mean, I think I'll get enjoyment from it regardless, to be perfectly honest. I did see that there was a lot of Yuki content, which I'm like, ugh, why? But there were some Hamilton interviews that were in the preview. No Max, so that'll be interesting to see. But I'm having a full watch party for it. But I won't be watching till Saturday, and I don't know if I'll get them all done during the watch party.
Oh, you guys are going to try to knock out all 10 on Saturday?
Yeah, but we're starting at 11 a.m., and so we'll see how far we get. But we're having food themed along with side of it. So we selected food items that are native to each home team's country. So we'll be having some fondue.
Wow. Okay.
Some champagne, some bangers.
What country is fondue?
French.
Is it? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. We're going full watch party mode.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to lock myself in the loft up here. You got the TV up there and just...
Well, no spoilers if you start on Friday.
No, I won't. I won't. And supposedly they haven't released any... they haven't released 9 or 10, so there's 10 episodes, to anybody. So that'll be a surprise. Everyone kind of knows what 9 and 10 is going to cover, clearly. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then we have what's off-season testing or preseason testing officially this weekend as well, right?
Sure.
I think. Yeah, sure. Maybe not. And then, yeah, we're getting to race time soon. So I'm excited. So today, what are we covering? Cover some news. We're going to talk about the reveals, of course. A little bit of the winter testing recap. Not too much on that. And then, of course, the famous off-grid gossip. There's been plenty of that over the last, you know, month and a half. And that's the name of the game. So right out of the gates, let's just start with the biggest news in the off-season. FIA admits that they got the last race wrong by basically firing Michael Masi.
Well, so
let's just call it what it is.
So rewind. I'm not saying anyone got it right or wrong, but they did not admit anything. But so don't put that fake news out there. They did oust Masi as race director, but they did not admit that they called the last race wrong. They've agreed to make changes and review some rules and regulations, but they didn't admit shit. So don't.
Technically speaking, they did not admit anything because they're the FIA. They're not going to admit anything. However, this is the roundabout way of doing it. I just saw today, actually, of course, the Horner Toto thing starts immediately as we get closer to the season. Horner says that a rival team bullied Michael Masi out of his seat. And they did. For sure, as they should have. I mean, the guy cost them the driver's championship, and everyone knows he got it wrong. So I think it's hilarious that Horner is starting to chirp. Of course not. But, you know.
So don't say everybody. Don't make these vast assumptions.
Actually, it's funny. On the ESPN article I was reading, they write it as like Michael Masi got it wrong. He misinterpreted it. Like they're just, I'm like, I love that narrative. So that was the big news. I wasn't terribly surprised. Were you?
I was surprised. Yeah, were you? Because it was a shocking thing to happen. It's not like it was rumored to happen. All of a sudden you woke up and it happened. So yeah, it was surprising. Didn't they just like renew his contract too? And they were like, yeah, we're going to keep him. And then they were like, no, just kidding.
Yeah, they did keep him, and I think in a different capacity. I don't know if he accepted the job, whatever that is. But I wasn't surprised because I figured Mercedes was going to bully them. I would have done the same thing, honestly. So
I just thought it would have happened sooner if it was going to happen. So
yeah, that's true. So Michael Mossi out. Niels Wittich and Eduardo Freitas will act alternatively as race directors. And they'll be assisted by Herbie Blash, who will serve as a permanent senior advisor. He worked with a former race director that everyone loved, Charlie Whiting, I believe is his last name. So they get some experience back in there.
I'd probably pronounce it Whiting.
I'm going to go Whiting, but it could be Whiting. And we'll just start season two right off with, let's see who mispronunciates the most words this year. So one of us got that one wrong. So we'll keep score this year. So that was the big news. These don't go in any specific order. This definitely didn't happen next, but I think it's the biggest news since the Ukraine-Russia, let's just call it what it is. It's a war. Haas terminates contract with Nikita and their title sponsor, which is his dad's company, Uracali. Could be mispronouncing that as well, due to obviously the invasion by Russia. No replacement driver announced yet, or title sponsor for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, before we go into the highlights, I think the thing with the sponsor is like they lost all this money. So how are they going to recoup the money? I think that's even more important than getting a driver, because they can pull anyone from, you know, the lower ranks. But like they got to fund the car and the team. That'll be harder to get.
Yeah, well, the principal, what's his name? Gunther? Is it Gunther? Yeah, he was like, yeah, you know, it hurts to lose a sponsor. He's like, yeah, but we're just going to go in the hole even more. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
He was like super casual about it. So that was big news. Again, I wasn't terribly surprised. I think it's the right thing to do. A lot of, you know, social media, you know, do you feel bad for Nikita? Do you not? I feel bad for him in the sense that, you know, it sucks. It's not like he invaded Ukraine. But at the same time, you've also benefited from your dad being an oligarch and, you know, what goes around comes around. So I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, he had a choice statement afterwards.
Yeah, you could tell he was angry. I mean, I probably would be too. You know, it's not his fault, but, you know, your association right now, you're guilty by association. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
What is his top moment? What spin is your favorite?
Oh, yeah. So let me just give you Nikita's top moments in F1 really history, 2021. 14th at Azerbaijan.
That's highest he's ever won. I mean,
that's it.
You didn't go back and count how many times he spun out?
I didn't know, because I would have been in front of the computer forever. I did count his DNFs. I think he had six, including a DNC, because he didn't race in the last one. He had COVID. So an ominous ending to his career. And
that sucks.
I will tell you what I'm excited about, though, because we all, I think, all kind of just hated or love to hate on Nikita. So now that he's gone, I can transition all of my hatred towards the guy that I really hated then the last year, which is Nicholas Latifi. So Nicholas Latifi's going to get all my hatred this year.
Why do you hate him the most?
Well, because Nikita's not there anymore. And all he had to do is keep his car on the fucking road last year.
You hate him more than Yuki?
And Lewis would have won the championship, but he had to go throw it into the wall with six laps left. So
you hate him more than Yuki?
Yes, I do. Just by a little bit. With Yuki, there's still a little bit in me where like I could forgive him this year, but he would need to have like a really solid like character year.
I'm going to hate him more after Drive to Survive.
I have a feeling I'm gonna feel the same way. I think
he's
you're
too
right
cocky.
There. I would imagine, you're right. I would imagine someone spoke to him in the offseason and was like, dude, listen, like, you got like 6 months.
Seeing the promo pictures of him and Gasly, though, is like so funny to me.
Oh, how short he is comparatively?
Not even that. I don't know why it makes me laugh so much. They're just an interesting duo.
Totally. You know, I mean, you think about it, though, with like Yuki and maybe a couple other drivers. I don't know what the contract situation is off the top of my head, but I think Yuki is signed up for this year. I mean, they'll start looking at replacements in the summer. So, I mean, he's got like 3 months to like really make a statement. Otherwise, they'll start they'll start shopping. So a lot of pressure on him. I ultimately think he'll choke and get pushed out, but hopefully he makes it. We'll see.
Yeah.
Sprint race schedule. So three sprint races. Mm-hmm. How did you end last year? I think you said you...
I liked sprint race. I tossed it up more. And I like how they are now, you'll get points for the top eight drivers. And I think the the grid is the same from qualifying.
Is it? I got to go back. There was a lot of rule changes and I had jotted some down.
I
started racing them
down for later.
Okay, great. Because there was a lot of rule changes, like the whole tire thing, Q2. I didn't know about that until like a week ago. So you have three sprint races this year. Imola, Red Bull Ring, and Interlagos. As Julie said, points for the top eight, basically eight down to 1 point. So I was surprised they didn't put more sprint races on. I'm surprised they're going with just three again.
I think they're doing a good job of like easing into it. So the top eight drivers score points. Previously, it was just the top three finishers. The driver who finishes P1 will get 8 points down to one. So I think before it was like 3-2-1. The driver who sets the fastest qualifying, which on sprint race weekends takes place on Friday, will be attributed pole position. It was the last year, it was the driver who won the sprint that earned that accolade. So qualifying will continue to determine the grid for Saturday's F1 sprint, with the result of the sprint forming the lineup for the start of Sunday's Grand Prix. So that just really confused me. I guess
like you said, too,
this is on the F1 website.
So let's say, so qualifying sets sprint and the results of sprint set the race. Because that's what it was last year. We'll find out in Imola for sure.
That track just extended their contract 2025.
Okay, so another 3 years. Yep. Speaking of contracts, we had a few notable extensions. Starting with in order, Norris got his extension first with McLaren. Wasn't surprised that goes through 2025. I didn't see any details on how much, although I'm sure they could be found. And then your boy Max cashed in. Actually, you know who cashed in? Kelly cashed in with an extension through 2028 at an estimated $45 million per year to put him even with Sir Lewis, which I'm sure deep down pissed him off so bad.
So apparently Lando's is $20 million a year.
Oh, really? He got 20 bags a year? Wow. Good for him. Good for him. So those are your two extensions. I don't think there's any surprise there. I guess I was a little bit surprised by it, the length of the extension for Max, but it makes sense. It totally makes sense. 45 a year.
Apparently Daniel only gets 17.
I don't know who got more points last year. I think Norris did, barely.
Yeah, he came out strong and then he kind of just like went downhill.
Yeah, well, Norris gets, you know, it's a newer contract, so they're going to be worth more. Plus, he's more popular, I think, overall, per last year's findings, which I would agree with. So you got to pay him a little bit more. I think, is Ricardo through next year or is his contract up? I think he got a 3-year.
Yeah.
We'll have to go back and look. But those are your extensions. So good numbers there. F1's worst kept secret. We were talking about this last year. Former Aston Martin boss, Otmar, not even going to try to pronounce his last name, appointed as new team principal at Alpine. That took forever.
I mean, that means nothing to me. I had no idea that this was like the worst kept secret.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about this like...
Were we?
Right after... Oh,
I've never heard these people's names before.
We did talk about it on one of our episodes, but I mean, the F1 community had been talking about this since like right after the summer break, and he kept denying it. And then the season ended and there was no news. And then like, what was like a month ago, he got announced. So clearly that had been in the works for a while. So you'll see a new face over at Alpine. And the only other news I put on here, and I think it's more relevant now just because of the Haas situation, Michael Andretti has applied to have a team in F1 by 2024. That would be an American-based team. I'm all for it. I would say just get rid of Haas and sub him in, but we need an American team that has money and can be competitive. I just think that's good overall for F1. So hopefully he'll get in. They're supposed to let him know soon because it obviously takes a couple years to get things rolling. So we probably will hear about that in the first month or so of the season. And that was it. That was your F1 FIA news. There was a lot more going on, of course, but we try to keep this show under 4 hours. So
Okay. So now into the library reveals. I thought we could go through the list, the seven rule changes for the 2022 season first before we got into grading our like favorites. So
is it livery or livery? Can we just agree on that this year?
I think it's livery. Livery. I don't know.
I'm going to say livery.
So the first new rule is frozen power units. So I guess they can't change them. Is that what that means? Or like they're under ice?
Yeah, they're literally frozen.
Yeah. So a new set of power unit regulations is currently being finalized by the different manufacturers. And this would result in a new hybrid engine in 2026 that will be sustainably fueled. So until then, it will be frozen from 2022 onwards.
Right. I think they're using the same power unit setup as last year. They, yes. I think the plan was to change them sooner than they're going to. So now they're just freezing it, meaning there'll be no changes for a few years. Perfect.
The second new rule is a return to a two-part preseason test. So last year was the shortest preseason in F1 history. And now they are having a two-part preseason test. The first one in Barcelona, which happened the other weekend, February 23rd, 25th, and then March 10th to 12th this weekend in Bahrain. And then number three is a tightening of aerodynamic testing restrictions.
You're talking some big lingo right now. Big lingo. The crazy thing about the aerodynamic, like, is some of these teams don't even have enough. They don't even have a facility to use. Like, it's crazy to me. But yeah, tell me about what that means.
Honestly, I have no idea what this means. Right. And you don't want me to read this.
Right.
So just know that there's new restrictions on aerodynamics. Okay, number four, which I think has been the one that's probably next to the engine situation, is the most publicized, is the lower budget cap.
Yes.
So the initial baseline figure was $145 million in 2021. And it's going to continue to drop. So this year it's at $140 million. So barely anything.
Well, that's it's a bigger deal for the top teams like Merck, Red Bull. They usually can spend way more money than that and usually do. For them to get it all done on basically a budget cut, is it makes their life difficult. Whereas Haas and some of these lower teams, like, it's a win for them because that's usually what they spend or around that number. So it's supposed to even out the playing field. We'll see.
Yep. And then we have a new weekend format. So to try and reduce the amount of time teams are away from home, the weekend format has been tweaked for non-sprint weekends to ensure practice is later on Friday. So there'll be 2 one-hour practice sessions that will remain, but they'll take place on Friday afternoon with teams carrying out media duties in the morning. So this eliminates Thursday as a full day at the track.
Yeah, I that one I thought was, they're all great. I thought that one was pretty powerful. I mean, you think about it, I never really thought about this before until really last year. You realize how much, especially last year, given how long and condensed the schedule was. I mean, they're at home like one day a week, maybe.
Yeah.
And they got to be exhausted because they're changing time zones. So that's good. Plus, it just compacts everything. You know, think about attending an event, like just everything's on Friday.
Yep.
And Saturday, Sunday, you know what I mean? So I like that one. That's good for the employees.
Yep. And then number six is mandatory practice outings for rookies. So this one's interesting. So it says that one of the biggest challenges is that for the rookies, there's just not a lot of opportunity to drive F1 cars to prove themselves worthy of a seat. Teams can run different drivers during Friday practice sessions, but it rarely happened. So to increase these chances for rookies, it's now mandatory for a team to give them an outing in FP1 on at least 2 occasions. That means each team must use a driver who has started no more than 2 Grand Prix, and they can either use the same driver twice or 2 different drivers for 1 session each.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot, but I think that's a good play to keep the rooks in play.
Yeah. And then lastly, new tire regulations. So the tire size changed from 13 inches to 18. In addition to that, the tire blankets that the teams use to heat the tires, they used to be able to be 100 degrees Celsius, but that drops to 70 degrees Celsius from 2022 onwards. That's for the front. The rear tires were at 80, but now can drop to 70. So all tires are at 70.
I think that is going to be a big deal when they're at tracks where the weather is wet or it's really cold. Yeah. I mean, that's a big drop in blanket temperature. The tires are huge. They're huge. Yeah. Even the driver said like they can, you know, their visibility is different because the tires sit up higher. I do like the, I didn't think I would like them, but I do like the tire like caps. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to like put data on those when you're looking, when you're watching a race on TV or whatnot. But the cars look fresh.
That was the other big thing that happened with Masi being removed from that position, is that we won't get any on-air radios between the FIA and the team leads.
It is a bummer.
Which just sucks.
It's a bummer. I mean, it's a bummer because it was so entertaining. At the same time, it was an absolute shit show, those messages. It was just like, what is going on? So it is a bummer. I think FIA will probably come back to that at some point once they clean that up because it was so entertaining. But after last year's mess, I can understand why they would do that. Plus, let's keep in mind, you essentially have two new race directors and they got to get up to speed. And yeah, so it makes sense. But yeah, that sucked. Yep. It definitely sucked because that was some of the best parts of last year were just Toto and Horner plugging into Masi. I think it's livery. So I'm going to say, let's talk about the liveries, all the reveals. We just kind of graded them A through F. I don't know if A through F is what they use in Europe or anywhere else in the world, but in America, you can get grades A through F, A being the best, F being fail. And that's how we graded them. So I was surprised. I did these in order of constructor standings. So we started with Merck because they did win the constructors. I gave Merck a B. I do love their silver livery. I'm happy they went back to the silver. I think my grades are based on like what they have had in the past and what they're doing this year. I gave it a B. I was shocked that you gave it an A.
Yeah, I thought it was cute.
Okay, cute.
Yeah, it's cute. It's pretty. That's how I graded all of these. How much different it was from previous year. These were my grading factors. How different it was from previous years, and then how cute that change was.
Okay. Red Bull, B+. You gave it a B. You said only because you love them.
Yeah, it wasn't there was like nothing different. It was just like it was the same. I feel like the orange was a little bit poppier. Mm-hmm. Like it popped a little bit more, but didn't get me like excited.
And I'm not like an Oracle homer or anything like that, but I do like
that was a
Oracle,
big sponsor.
Yeah, $500 million. I mean, they paid for, you know, Max's contract. I do like the Oracle how it wraps around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I gave it a B+. I've always liked their livery. I'd give it an A if they went to that that throwback livery they have. Ferrari B- only because it was about the same. Although I feel like if I saw the Ferrari in person, I would love it more.
It was a deeper red. It was a deeper red, but I gave it a D. It was boring. Like, I would have given Red Bull a D, but again, I liked them. I liked Red Bull, so I gave them a B.
It's a darker red. I will say the one thing I love is they went with that, like, real wide body with, like, the big opening. I don't even know what to call those. Looks like a whale shark's mouth or something like that.
You know what they also went with?
What?
Way too heavy of a spray tan for Carlos.
Oh yeah, your boy was looking very, very orange.
And then compared to Charles, who was pale, it was alarming. It was alarming. I know he's Spanish and he probably tans really well, but like, bro, no. Cancel that shoot on that day.
He definitely tans well, but to your point, it did look a little fakey. Like it did look a little fake.
It was alarming. Alarming.
The red did not.
I'm going to go look at it again.
It did not do him well. McLaren, I think we both loved it. I gave it an A. It should have been an A+, actually.
This is my favorite. Grade.
It looked so fucking sexy. So sexy. So cute. Exactly. It just looks like a car that's going to win a lot of races this year. And I hope it does. It looked awesome. I thought the teal?
Gulf blue.
Yeah. Aqua, whatever you want to call it. It was just like, they nailed that. McLaren definitely takes the cake. Alpine, I gave a C minus.
I love the pinks.
Well, I love the pink too, but that's not what they're only rocking that for the first 2 weeks.
Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah. If they were running the pinks all year, I would have given it, what did I say?
Oh, because
B plus. But they're running the blue, I guess that is, a blue, purple, blue, with the pink secondary for 95% of the year. So
I like the pink secondary.
Yeah, but did you see their alternate where it's mostly pink with the blue
secondary? No, I think I only saw the other one. I like the light. I like the subtle pink.
Oh, really? With that like dominant blue?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I didn't like it as much. I gave that a C minus. I love the pink dominant. You gave it an A.
Yeah, I like it.
Have you seen their uniforms?
No.
Oh, God. It's painful. It's painful. I'm going to ask you again after the first week and see how you feel about it. Okay. AlphaTauri, C for me, D for you.
Boring. Nothing.
Yeah. Changed. You know, their livery last year when they broke that out was pretty exciting. It didn't look as good on this car for some reason. I wasn't that thrilled about it.
I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah. So Aston Martin, everyone says like in person, the green they have this year is like amazing. I can't tell, haven't seen it in person, but I gave it a C, you gave it a D. So similar to AlphaTauri, just doesn't really, I don't know. I think the Aston Martin like green, I think that's like a British thing. Like they just like love that color. I could be wrong, but it doesn't do it
just
for me.
Just confuses me with Mercedes.
Yeah, well, not this year. Williams.
So cute.
Love
the new
car.
Colors. Loved it. Was definitely like a modern facelift. I felt like they updated their font a little bit and their branding. It was needed. It was cute. And you got to like, you know, now that they don't have George, who else is on Williams now?
Albon.
Oh, you know, I'm excited for his girlfriend to be on the track. The little golfer girl.
Yeah, I think his second go, I think he's going to do well.
Yeah.
And I hope he just smashes Latifi in every qualifying, every race. But Williams, A minus for me, Julie A. I thought they crushed it. And then Alfa Romeo. I liked it better than last year. It seemed more like modern, but it's still like a C plus for me. You gave it a D. So you were a very tough teacher this year. Very tough.
I only gave out A's and D's.
Yeah, literally. I was going through. It's like, she just gave out A's and D's.
I get a B to Red Bull.
Yeah, no C's. Mm-mm. One B. All right. So there you have it. So we had winter testing. What was it? Last week? Week before last? And, you know, we're not going to bore you with all the data, because we didn't go through it, honestly, so there's nothing to say there. But the key takeaways, Ferrari, McLaren looked really good, very competitive on the timesheets, especially earlier in the week. Mercs and Red Bull were quietly right there. They kind of unleashed it a little bit more on the last day with Mercs taking 1-2 and Red Bull 3-4. The big item that they talked about was porpoising. I'd never heard of this word or knew what it meant. Porpoising.
What does it mean?
So porpoising is, because of the new regulations, the way the cars are built and not having like hydraulic shocks or whatever, on the straightaways, because there's so much downforce on the car would start like, you know, when you hit like a small little like informal speed bump at a high speed and your car kind of like rocks up and down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like that's what was happening to the cars, a lot of the cars. So
like what happens in the Volvo and you get locked in.
Yeah, exactly. When the seatbelt jerks on you and you kind of hit a little dip. So a lot of the cars were kind of bouncing at high speeds, which is extremely uncomfortable, I would imagine, for the drivers who were basically driving right on the ground. So that will be something all the teams have to figure out going into preseason testing. Overall, Pirelli said the feedback was really positive on the tires. It seems like they didn't really have any tire issues. Obviously, we'll see how those play out in wet weather or really hot racetracks. I mentioned the wheel caps. I think those look pretty sharp. Some of the teams actually even colored their wheel caps to match their paint scheme.
Cute.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of cuteness. What was your biggest takeaway, if any, from winter testing? Did you come away being like, that was really interesting?
I came away with no thoughts because I did not watch.
Fair enough. I didn't watch either. I watched some highlights and listened in on one of the days. I had nothing going on.
Not going to lie to our listeners.
That's okay. I would say for me, it was intriguing, as I'm sure it was for a lot of people, to see what all the different cars look like, because they're all designed quite a bit differently. And this is the first time we're going through a regulation change. So, you know, in 2 years, the cars could all look very similar as they start to copycat, you know, whoever's design is working the best. But to see the different strategies, the different looks, was pretty cool. So I'm you know, was excited to experience that. We'll see what they look like in next week when they come back with some upgrades. So that was really it for winter testing. We'll see how preseason goes, and we'll see who's got the speed to start the year.
Cool. Okay. Off-grid gossip.
Ooh.
Okay. So some off-grid gossip. So prior to Lewis returning from social media, Mercedes and George were probably posting 5 times a day of George in his new outfit. I mean, they were promoting it hard. It was alarming. It was like he is like the poster child. And then they were posting so much. It was like, where is Lewis? Is he just, how is he getting out of these obligations?
Because he was just like, don't look for me. I'll let you know when I'm back. I mean, I would say it's actually, it worked out well for Mercedes because listen, you got your 7-time world champion. He's like the number one driver. But Lewis brings a different like attitude and style to what Merck's branding is. Whereas George, I mean, it's like they hired a model that can also drive cars really well, and he's clean cut. I mean, it's like, and then there's some other guys, you know, Charles and, you know, Sainz, but like George's look is global. It's global. It's global. So they were like, let's get it in now because Lewis isn't here. You know what I mean? It worked out well, but he looked sharp.
He did look sharp. Lewis finally came back to social media. I mean, I think it was like 2 or 3 months. He posted some pics, like he said he was spending time with his family and friends. He's currently at Paris Fashion Week, and I honestly chuckled real hard at his post this week, and it like gave me, he like went up a notch in my book, because he posted a picture next to Zendaya, and I'm a big Euphoria fan, and one of the things in Euphoria is like, you know, there's all these kids, but there's like no teachers, like there's no teacher characters. And his post was said something about like, should I be a teacher on Euphoria? And it really made me laugh. I got a good chuckle out of it.
Great start for Lewis. Already working his way back into Julie's heart. This is great. Yeah, I think there's
only
been rumors
because
in the
of
past.
Euphoria.
Well, whatever it takes, right? I know there's been rumors in the past that like he was dating her. He said sometimes like they're just really good friends. No.
She's young. She's like 18.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, like,
no.
Would people judge that if she was of age? Like, it wouldn't be that surprising. But yeah, he's shut that down quite a few times.
Spider-Man.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, that was amazing. I thought it was so funny. I like really, really chuckled. In other news, like, is Charlotte Charles' girlfriend like getting paid by Ferrari? Because she was like at a Ferrari fashion show and all the digs. She's literally always at the track. Like, is she a stage 5 clinger? Is she getting paid? Like, does Charles just want to get rid of her? These are the thoughts I have.
I want to say my input for our Wags episode went over and get to that this year. And we'll probably do two, but she definitely getting paid for sure. I think it was at the end of last year, there's all these rumors about like, is Charles like really into her anymore or whatever, but she's been all over social media. So I would imagine that's going well, but who knows? But
red is her new color. That's for sure.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, like, and I don't mean it like insulting. Like, is her job to,
she's in school.
Oh, she's in school. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll see a ton of her this year.
Yeah.
A ton of her, like on track.
Yep. So one of the last episodes we recorded live was when Lando and Louisa made kind of like their Instagram official. They became Instagram official. And then they made their red carpet debut at the Brit Awards. They looked super cute. Not much to add there, but they like quickly went from like 0 to 100 on social media. So I imagine we'll see her at the track a lot also. And then lastly, this is, you know, hot off the press this morning from Kelly's Instagram, but Max has an ear infection and doesn't want to take any antibiotics. So if anyone has tips on how to cure his ear infection, she's soliciting opinions from the people.
Was he an anti-vaxxer or something like that?
I don't know.
Who doesn't want to take antibiotics for an infection? I don't know. Like, what is going on? Max is such he's just like, you know, sky's not blue. It's like,
I mean,
know,
she took him to the doctor. She used like the like medical term for an ear infection. I like Googled it and I was like, dude just has an ear infection. Just take the antibiotic.
I expect to see her clothes very hard this year. Very hard. Like,
I'm into it.
Just signed that contract. Can't let them get away now. Let them get away now. So the website is up. We're going to be pumping the website. We have a few contests I'll be rolling out once the season starts, of course. We got Drive to Survive 1 through 5 and 6 through 10 the next 2 weeks. So definitely make sure you're up to speed on that. I'm sure people are going to binge that this weekend for sure. So that shouldn't be a problem. And then moving forward, if you have any feedback on our social media game, just send it to Julie because she's taking full ownership of this moving forward.
Yeah, the schedule, branding will post. Look nice now.
Exactly.
And consistent because the colorblind podcast host, which is Dell, is not trying to botch these things together.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus I'm busy writing your ceremony speech, so you have to do the social media. Thanks for joining this. Episode 1, season 2 is in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at GridGossipF1. Same for Twitter. Maybe Julie will spin up a TikTok. Who knows? And the same for our website.com. And we will see you guys next Tuesday. And we're talking about Drive to Survive 1 through 5.
Excited for a cute season.
Later.